Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, winter has come back, and we've got a little bit of white stuff out there on the ground and the snow. And I tell you that you folks that are traveling south, it sounds like that snow got a little bit deeper and a little bit more dense down that direction. So you would probably want to make sure you call ahead, or just make sure those highways are good for you as you travel today. So with everyone out there today traveling, just be safe and just take that extra minute if needed to get to that location as you go out today. Also, too, I just want to encourage you. We send out both Vital Men and Vital Women. We send out devotionals 6 days a week. And you go to vitalministries.org, and you can get those devotionals sent for you. Just an inspiration, that nugget that helps you through your day. And we've got 5 different writers on the men's side. And also, too, my wonderful wife, she writes for the women 5 days a week. And then we also send out what we call Vital News on Saturday. So just another way to get plugged into Vital Ministries, and also too, just to keep connected about the things and the news that's going around in your local area. And also too, I just want to get this kind of a last shout out as we get ready, as we travel to Jerusalem. I will be headed to Jerusalem March 8th through the 18th. We're looking forward to that trip. And just if you have any inspiration at all, or the Holy Spirit just put on your heart to be participate in that, we would love to have you come along. We're about at the last hour of anybody being able to participate. That's about a $5,000 investment per person. And you're probably saying, Mike, that's a lot of money and I'm going to come back with you. Yes, it is. But at the same time, what a great opportunity to have an investment to go out and walk the very area and see the things that Jesus did in his time, as well as 4,000 years of Israel's history as we read the Bible. But just a lot of great things out there to participate and get plugged into. But today we're going to start a new teaching series, a new study, the Gospel of Mark, following the rabbi, to literally walk in his steps. Have you ever followed someone on a rock road before? And if it's especially in the summertime, man, it's dust is flying off your vehicle, and there's times there's such a cloud that's ahead that you can't even see the vehicle behind. And it's you are the one that's following, your vehicle is literally covered in dust. And that's what was happening to the disciples. Not that they were covered in dust, but they were catching the dust of the rabbi, which was Jesus himself. And we'll see through the journey, and from the shores of the Sea of Galilee to the streets of Jerusalem, running with the blood of Christ, the story of the Christ, of Jesus' life in the book of Mark. We're going to learn what it means to follow Jesus. There's a lot of good books out there what it means to be a follower of Christ during his time and walked on earth, but it's also his application. How does it apply for us today? And oftentimes I get asked that question. Mike, as you read the scriptures and you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the biggest thing people will say is, how does it apply to me today? And I think as you dig in and you get the inspiration and you allow the Holy Spirit, like we've talked about in the last 2 weeks about the Holy Spirit and how he speaks into our lives and gives us clarity and direction, he also does that with the scriptures, because everything about God's word is God-breathed from God himself and also from the Holy Spirit. But let's get a brief synopsis this morning in the book of Mark before we jump in today. And again, I just want to thank you to listening to KBOE 104.9 FM. If you're traveling down the highway, again, be very careful. We thank you for tuning us in today and enjoying this portion of this podcast today, and as well as those that are traveling maybe somewhere on your way to church. Thank you for listening. Or maybe this is you're at home listening and this is your worship time, your time of inspiration. We're glad that you're with us today. But most believe that the gospel was written, the John Mark was the association with the Apostle Peter, written somewhere between 50 to 60 AD. Some things that is unique about the gospel is this is all written for those of a Gentile audience. John Mark writes in a way that moves its reader quickly from one account to the next. It's rapid, it's consistent, and it just moves you in such a way that you got to stay up with it because so much is happening. We at Vital Men, we have five writers who write five daily devotionals Monday through Friday. And again, we shared that in the very beginning. But each writer has his unique way in how he writes. And they all write about their life experiences and giving Bible verses to associate with their journey. It's good writing, it's good reading, and it's also inspired by God. But especially the books that were written in the Bible. I think it's much like the Gospels. The writers are writing with the experience with Jesus along with their inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which creates the difference in the four Gospels. The book of Mark wants you to know Jesus is the Son of God, but we also see the humanity of Jesus himself. I look forward to us digging in today, and our title for today, if you're home and you're writing it down, here is our sermon title is this, The Good News Has Arrived. Today you might be traveling again. Thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9. But let's jump into the Word of God. And if you're at home today, we want you to open up to Mark chapter 1, starting with verse 1. And let's get started today. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is the voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord's coming. Clear the road from him. See, Mark opens up with, sets the stage for Jesus. We have the good news of the gospel. There's a victor in the story. The victor is Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one has come. Mark pulls no punches. He gets down to the nitty-gritty of the gospel. He lets us know that the good news has arrived. And I don't know about you, but I like that. Too often people who want to say something will want you to listen to this long, drawn-out explanation that may or may not apply to the story, but it's not the case with the book of Mark. And it is action-filled. It is what I would say, it's just something you want to hold back on because it is just good reading. See, the good news is that Jesus is the Messiah, and we don't want here to any negativity about the drama. The good news is here, and with that, here's the story. I don't know about you, but I listen to the news and read the paper and watch the news, and it's what I would say 99% what I would call negativity. Today, the news tells us about the U.S. and the Mexican wall. It's just a nonstop about the need for that wall. And the government shutdown, we've all been influenced by that and just consistency. And it talks negatively about our president, about that the government shutdown. And usually, only the news that they want us to get is from their perspective. Generally, it's very rare do we hear anything about what is good. Now, all this news is obviously, without a doubt, it's important, but where is the good news? Where are the good things that are happening? You have to kind of pick through the food bites to find something good in anything that is said. But Mark says that the good news was prophesied and written by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is telling us that there is a forerunner ahead of the Messiah, the voice in the wilderness, that he is telling people to make their lives straight, get things in order, because the chosen one is coming. It's kind of like that of the bicyclist, I think, this time of year, who wait for the journey to hear about the route of Ragby. They can't wait to know what's the journey going to be across from Iowa, so they wait for the foretelling of what can happen. And generally speaking, Ragby doesn't give their course route until the end of January. There's all of the predictions and where they might start and where they might end, but it's the waiting period for those that like to be the bicyclist to travel across our great state of Iowa. Kind of comparably to how it must have been for those who have prophesied about the Messiah and with the good news of the gospel. So again, we have time and space before the foretelling and also to the actual things that happen in the prophetic word that come to actual being. But my next point today is this, is prepare the way. And we're gonna look at that again, jumping back in the book of Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And this is what the Word of God says. It says, this messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that the people should be baptized to show that they have repented of all their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven with coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I am, I am not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with the water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Man, there's just great inspiration. Just a lot is being said in that text, but there's something special that's written here about Jesus and John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he gets it. The coming of Jesus was and still is a big deal. Again, the book of Mark is written especially to the Gentiles, like we talked about briefly before, but yet John the Baptist speaks to the Jews directly, not to the Gentiles, but to the Jewish nation. We see John the Baptist here leaving his wilderness experience. You know, here's some things that I find interesting about John the Baptist, that it was unlike his father Zechariah, who was the priest who studied amongst the other rabbis. John takes a different road, a different course in ministry. It would have been easy for John to take what I would call the easier road, hang out with his father in Jerusalem and go to synagogue and learn to what it means to be a priest, or also to be a prophet, hanging out with, you know, his father was just an incredible man from what we read in Scripture, but also too hanging around the priest, but not John. No, he goes straight to the wilderness. He has this connection. He has this opportunity where, because he, as we read in Scripture before, he is filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit leads him to his wilderness experience. I see John as man among men. No trouble of being a man in his masculinity. No, he comes with the fire of Elijah. He is filled with the Spirit, and he pulls no punches in his preaching. He calls people to repent of their sins and calls them out for it. No milk toast, watered down preaching here. He's lit up. He's focused. He spent time with his heavenly Father in the wilderness, and he's the forerunner of Christ. I find it interesting how they describe his outside appearance, that not only how he looks, but also to his eating habits. His outer garments are skin from a camel with leather belt around his waist. No GQ apparel going on here, folks. He's not there to entice you with expensive or glamorous clothing. He's as sure as who he is in his clothing, and his clothing doesn't define him. And I also find it interesting, too, about what it says about what he eats, eating honey and locusts. He's on a high energy diet that just gives him the right things to do and as he jumps into ministry. And don't you appreciate it when you have men who are called to speak or preach? They don't get caught up in what they have on. They know it's not about them in the first place, and they are simply an instrument for the gospel of Christ. I want you to imagine with me something is this morning, and here's John the Baptist. He's in the Jordan River. It's a small river which rarely spans greater than 15 yards. I've seen it. It is true. It runs 66 miles from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. The river symbolizes new beginnings for Israel. And the Baptist, he's in it. I love it. He's in it, and he's baptizing these people. See, John is calling for the Jews to repent. As they repent, he baptizes them in water. While he's speaking, he brings the people to an attention, to another person who's coming. He's the Messiah. He's even more powerful than me. Then we see John's incredible humility. He tells the crowd, this is something that's interesting. He all of a sudden puts away the ministry that God has laid about him, because it's so easy sometimes, people that you've seen in ministry, that they make it about them instead of about God. But not John the Baptist. He doesn't have any inclination. He doesn't want to have any accolades. Doesn't want to have any light shed upon him. No, he knows who he is. He is the forerunner of the Christ. And matter of fact, it says he's not even worthy to untie his sandals, and he uses the word slave. He tells the crowd that I'm not even to stoop down to untie them. And I love that portion of it, because back in that time, it was custom that only slaves or servants would come in. As people would come in off the streets, and obviously they would be wearing some sort of a sandal attire, so their feet would be open to the dirt and the dust. And like anything else, I've been there. It's a sandy soil and it's very dusty. And they would come in, and their feet would be literally filthy dirty because of the walk, because of the journey. And it was up to the slave or the servant to clean the feet of the guest who would come into the home. And that's what John the Baptist is wanting to explain. I'm lower than a slave. I'm lower than a servant. I'm so unworthy of who I am that I can't even untie the souls that are on his feet. Then he makes this final statement. He says, I baptize you with water, but the Messiah, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See, John showed that the water baptism cleanses the outside of a person. Because as a person comes up, there's nothing greater that I love when we have baptismals. And it's just something energetic. There's energy in the room. As somebody who goes down, who claims that they're a sinner, and they go down into the water, and then they come out of the water, there's something electrifying about that moment of when they come out. But John the Baptist says, Jesus is going to give you a deeper experience. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, something that will change your life forever, something that will make new things, new roads, new ways that will happen in your life. But let's keep reading this morning, and let's read what happens next. I want you to open up your Bibles back to Mark chapter 1, and let's continue through verses 9 through 11. It says this, one day Jesus came from Nazareth into Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy. See, John knows that Jesus is coming. And John, now at this moment, he sees Jesus walking on the hillside down to the Jordan River. Only John knows who he is. I can only imagine that moment with me today is what is going through John's mind. The Messiah is walking toward him, the Son of God. John's Savior walks in the midst and heads down toward the water. Everything that John has said about the one who is greater and the one who is coming is now walking towards him in the Jordan River. And can you put in your mind for a moment when John and Jesus' eyes meet? Can you imagine what that moment must have looked like? John's eyes drop. So does his head. In my mind, that's what I think, because it talks about his humility. And he knows that there's nothing worthy about him that would allow him to baptize the Messiah. See, folks, again, John, he gets it. He's living in the moment for which he was prophesied about him. Everything about his life came into this moment. And his trajectory of his life is about to make a major shift. From that moment on, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, John the Baptist knew in his ministry that he had to become less. Folks, we live in a day today that everything is absolutely the opposite of that. Live life to the fullest. Live it your way. Let your conscience be your guide. I can only ask, how did we get so far off from this imagery of what it must have meant for humility of Christ? See, the problem is today we live in a world that it's all about me, taking care of being number one. We have raised a generation that sees life in their own terms. And I'm not trying to be a downer here, folks, but it's true, it's reality. But whatever you would want to look, and you can just see this how the statistics speak for themselves, we've got a lot of work to do, folks, to change that type of thinking. But for John, again, he gets the moment with Jesus. He talks about the Son of God, and he baptizes him. And can you imagine how it must have been? Here's Jesus. He's coming out of the water, and he stands to his feet, and he's dripping wet. And can you just see the water coming from his hair and his beard? And then all of a sudden, the heavens split. What a moment for John. From the sky comes the Holy Spirit and descends on him like a dove. And then he hears from the heaven, from God the Father speaking, like he did with first Adam, like he did with Moses as God spoke the Ten Commandments into being. He affirms Jesus, you are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy. Some other translations say that I am well pleased with him. Wow, the triune God all together for a moment and all for humanity to see. And they hear God's voice, they see the Holy Spirit, and the Son stands in physical form before John himself. It gives me, folks, I got to be honest with you, it gives me goosebumps this morning. Just think about what it must have been like. Jesus will need to hold to this moment, just like he does with his cousin John. There's destiny upon him. There's a quote that I like from The Night of the Museum. It says this. It says, "Some men are born great. Others have greatness thrust upon them." That's how I see Jesus. His baptism had greatness thrust upon him, and he will need to remember, because Jesus also knows what lies ahead. It's the cross. And John himself will have to humble himself, because he knows the way of Jesus, there is no greater love to take away our sins. But that part of Mark is yet to come. That leads us to our final point this morning, is point number 4, the wilderness. And let's continue reading about the wilderness experience of Jesus. It says, "The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He came out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him." See, the Gospel of Mark, again, gets us to the point of Jesus's, points us to his wilderness experience. I find it interesting. If you go in the Gospel of Matthew, you will find it in chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. 17 verses are set aside for the experience of what Jesus did in the wilderness. Go to the Gospel of Luke. Again, Luke 4, chapter 1 through 13. 13 verses are given for Jesus's wilderness experience. But the Gospel of John, he takes us and only gives it 2 verses. But what he does say to the reader about Jesus' experience, I find so significant. He makes it clear that Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Makes it clear. And only in this portion of Scripture do we find that Jesus was among wild animals, but yet was not taken on by them. He was the Son of God, and also, too, that the angels took care of him. It's truly symbolic when you take a closer look. Jesus was the victor in his 40 days, while Israel, when they had their wilderness experience in the time of Moses, they struggled and they failed for 40 years in their wilderness experience. Jesus is the triumphant and is the one who is the victor, who is testifying to the account. We all have wilderness experiences in our lives, don't we, as well? And they will either, what I call your wilderness experience, will do one of two things. It will either refine you or it will define you. And I mean by that is the wilderness experiences are hard. Some say that they come from, their wilderness experiences come from addictions, marriage failures, loss of a loved one, financial loss, physical conditions, and many, many more. And it's such a broad spectrum of each of us have encountered our wilderness experiences. And some bring on those wilderness experiences. To be truthful, they bring them on themselves by their own circumstances. I've heard many people say this, that you're either headed into a wilderness experience or you're coming out of one. It's a cycle of life. Those who put their trust and their eyes on Christ, folks, they will prevail. Those who don't will succumb to their own pressures and deny the power of the Holy Spirit in it. See, folks, Jesus prevailed because he stayed focused on the outcome. He could at any time call down the angels, but that wasn't the outcome. The angels came after he had his wilderness experience. I can remember a time in my own life, in our own company, we had been embezzled against, and as I was also going through a divorce in my life. Man, I tell you what, it was the darkest wilderness experience that I had ever went through in my life. It was a dark day, dark times, and I would tell you, it was one of my toughest battles. The only way I got through it was this, folks, and I'm just be absolutely honest with you, is keeping my eyes on Jesus, having good friends around me, and my father, men who would speak life into me, and I would get focused onto what Jesus had for my life. See, when my wilderness experience was over, the Lord's strength helped me to stand. My wilderness experience had some incredible things happen. It birthed vital men. I became a commissioned pastor, and the Lord blessed me with another wife, another marriage, and my wife Dana. I'm just such a blessed man in the midst of my wilderness experience. All could have been lost, but folks, God is good. He sent a son, and his name is Jesus Christ. Yes, they crucified him, but later he rose victorious 3 days later and he rose from the dead. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father and he's coming again. Jesus, folks, is the good news of the gospel and he can be your Savior today. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day and the opportunity to come and share the good news of the gospel, that you came and that you lived life and you continue to speak into people's lives even today in 2019. Lord, I just pray that maybe somebody out there this morning is having a wilderness experience. They are going through the struggle of their life. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll help them to endure, to trust you in the midst of that, to get good people around them, and to trust the process of the wilderness, that you will help them be victorious in it, even though it is the hardest heartache of their life. I just pray, Lord, that you just help someone. I believe there's somebody out there this morning that's listening today that needs this word, that Jesus is their Savior, and Jesus is their Lord, and he is their hope. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us this morning, to be the inspiration, not only to how you wrote to those men in the Gospels, but the inspiration as John the Baptist so greatly wrote about him, is that he did baptize with water, but Jesus baptized with the Spirit, things that change within. We thank you, Jesus, for being part of our lives today. In your name I pray, amen. Folks, it's just a great opportunity. We have 11 more weeks. I'm just excited about this study in the book of Mark. I hope that you continue to be with us and listen in a depth study. And we're going to finish out chapter 1. So if you want a little bit of study ahead of time as we continue our series in the Gospel of Mark and the following the dust of the rabbi, what a great experience for us all to go deeper in Christ and understand what it meant for him to live on this earth and also to how it applies for us today. Folks, I want to thank you for listening. Be a part of KBOE 104.9. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.